Hey, tempo changes. 5 to 7 minute songs. A piano getting blown up by a fucking shotgun. We're talking about Tool's Undertow. We're about to review it. Check it out. Wasted Attention. Welcome back, everybody. We are Wasted Attention. Over on my left, as always, I've got Ivan.
Hello.
On my right, I got JD.
Joker's to the left of me. Jake's over to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Every time you say that, I think of that.
I like that song. If we could, like, you know, use
it.
It's
in, like, every Tarantino movie or something.
It's true. Or Malcolm in the Middle. Dogs.
Yeah, is that it?
Is it in there?
Yeah. The dad. One of the scenes with the dad. I don't know. But anyways, thank you for joining us. Today, we are going to be talking about Tool's first official release. We're not talking about the EP. We're talking about first full album, Undertow.
I do have some notes on that, though.
Okay.
Whenever you're ready for them.
You know what? I'm ready now.
You want to hear what I got?
Yeah, let's hear it.
So Opiate was the name of the EP. It was produced and engineered by Sylvia Massey, who also did Undertow.
Correct.
And former Minor Threat bassist Steve Hansgen. Does that make any sense to you?
No, I know
Minor
the band.
Threat,
right? I know the band, but okay. I don't know the members.
You're our punk guy, so. Opiate released
poser.
On March 10th, 92. It was just all the 2 years of the band playing together. They formed in 90. Preceded the Undertow by a year. Came from the Karl Marx quote, "Religion is the opiate for the masses." Here's what's crazy to me. This fucking EP sold 1,155,000 copies in the U.S. Just the EP.
Holy shit.
Really?
Yes. As far as, you know, that based on this information off of all of it, Wikipedia. So feel free to correct it. Most of these songs on Undertow were actually, half of them were written during, like, this opiate phase.
It's my first fact.
Yeah.
Failed fact.
Suck I also was going to mention that.
Damn it.
One time we all do our homework, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Go figure.
All from the same source.
See, yeah, along with Undertow, they consider this, fans consider it to be like the heaviest of the albums. So, guitarist Adam Jones stated, "I love metal, but I love other stuff that's been contributed by the band. When we started out, the record company said we had to pick our heaviest songs because that's the impact. You're metal, and that's really important."
That's
so
nice.
That's kind of why it has that heavier tone and edge.
Well said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it, besides unless you guys have heard the song, so, but... It's neither here nor there.
Yeah, nothing enough to review. I remember we were discussing that we're probably going to jump into it, but then I was like, oh, we'll just do Undertow.
I figured now would be the best time. If not, it's no big deal. Yeah. It's six songs. It's good stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. First failed fact. You know what? That's like us kind of showing up like in the same shirt, like, well, I'm not changing.
One of us has to change.
Yep. That's right.
All
right.
Undertow came out April 6, 1993, part of Zoo Entertainment, which I don't even know if that exists. I never even like heard of it.
I have never... at all.
Yeah. Well, I know it like exists, but like anymore.
Yeah. It's something we'd have to look into. I feel like I've heard it before.
Yeah. Like
what
Geffen.
Been.
I was, yeah. Someone said Geffen the other day. I was like, I remember Geffen Entertainment.
Yeah.
That logo.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
What's the logo?
It was like that like gray sphere with the G like in the middle of it.
Not ringing any bells.
Damn it.
You remember Interscope Records?
I do.
It's
remember
a
90s Interscope.
Thing.
Yeah. And it's a 90s thing. Now we found our niche. Undertow, double platinum, 2.9 million copies sold worldwide.
Double platinum?
Double platinum.
Damn.
It's crazy, right?
Damn. It's super crazy. If you've listened to our Fear Inoculum album, our review, I had said that.
Our album.
Our album, yeah. I said that I wasn't like super familiar with Tool. And just to show you, I didn't even know that Justin wasn't the bass player the entire time.
Yeah, Paul D'Amore. This is the only full length album that he's done. He did a couple songs in Anima.
Okay.
But that's when Chancellor came in.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he wanted to play guitar.
Yeah. God damn it.
Damn it. Failed fact number two. I'm keeping the tally of this stuff, man. You're probably right. We probably did all go to the same website.
It's like the first click. Like, oh, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The ten things you didn't know about.
Once I saw that video, I was like, ah, someone's been here already. Someone has been in this bathwater.
Right.
It's murky.
Well, let's jump in, guys. We open up with Intolerance. I will say right off the bat, this song was just another level because of the drums, man. In no way disrespectful to Mr. Adam Jones, but the riff was just, it was good, you know, nice and chunky, nothing, where I was like, whoa, But Danny Carey, man, just the drums, just from one part when he was riding on the crash ride to go along with the pattern, he switched that shit up and changed the tempo and was doing it with a hi-hat, completely changed the entire feel of that song within like a minute and a half.
He kind of does that on this album, like with those hi-hat opens, like you're talking about. Yes. Especially like you're going to hear it in Sober. Like it so sets the tone for like what the song is, and it's kind of different, but that's neither here nor there. We're going to get to that.
Yes.
My one of my problems with Tool is there's only so much I could listen to the same
For like the riffs when they sit on them for too long?
Yeah. And it's almost the same pattern.
Yeah.
When you know what I mean? It's very similar to the same pattern. But I could like I don't know. Let's continue. I don't want to get too far into it.
Too far into it. Yeah. Is that all you got for it or you got more?
Well, you know, the thing that I wanted to put in there was he was talking about the same pattern. I went through and I was reading some of the tabs for it. And in another song, it was the same exact tabs as far as Intolerance. I'm not going to say what the other name of the song was, but it's the... Like he's switching from the three and the two in the open, from the two and the three in the open, back to the three and the two in the open. Like there was a lot of instances.
It's like Sober, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's one of them too. But it fits though. Like I was like, as a drummer, I wasn't mad by any means, but...
I'd have to analyze the drums a little bit more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hardcore.
I was looking for more things that jumped out.
Gotcha.
Something when I was listening to Intolerance, and something reminded me about Jonathan Davis, and I was wondering if Jonathan Davis was inspired by Keenan.
Really?
It's weird because you could kind of hear like Tool influences here and there. Like when you go back and listen to this shit, there's something else I was thinking of too. I think certain things in Chevelle remind me of. Do you remember that?
Chevelle?
Yeah.
Really?
I'd have to figure it out, but there's certain like stuff that he does. I only know a couple songs, so with Chevelle, but there's a certain tone and kind of like maybe it's the way they open up like the verses and stuff. Like it's kind of chill. It's just usually a bass kind of riding around, doing its thing, and then a melodic kind of vocal. I think it's the way Maynard treats the vocals sometimes.
It could be.
Do you think he's kind of like repeats himself too much,
like melody wise or lyric wise?
I don't know about lyric-wise, but just his deliverance.
As far as each individual song, like, or does he use patterns? Like
it's like along with the whole thing with the drums, like dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then he'll come in and do his little, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Not that I've noticed, but I'm curious.
And then he'll go in hard in a certain spot, like, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And then he'll go back again, and then gets away, and then he'll be like, it was like doing like little subtle things here and there.
I get you.
And then he'll come back in with some more lyrics like, I need to tie my shoe, but it was already tied.
That's like this album in a nutshell, you know?
Because there's a thing too, like the way this album sounds to me, I hear a lot of influence, not the Tool, I think Tool influenced like the beginning of All Things to End with the way the Mudvayne thing sounds. It's kind of that raw.
Prod. Holy shit.
You know what I mean? Like, I think I'm hearing more shit like that. Because even with, because my notes on Intolerance was, I like the dirty, thick kind of tone,
right,
with the guitars and shit. Maynard has a way of being melodic and catchy in like with these dark themes and songs that kind of goes counterintuitive to it. I'm trying to think of the words. God damn it, now I'm singing Sober. But
see?
I don't want to be hostile. I don't want to be.
That's exactly what I'm talking
lie,
about right there.
Cheat, steal, and lie. And I feel like it's got like a little bit of poppiness to it, to where I think where he plays with the melodies, almost like Chad does. Like he's not set to this thing. He'll go out and he'll explore these certain things and ideas. And that's where I kind of hear some of that influence.
Definitely.
Like more so, like if you go back and listen to like the beginning of All Things to End and you listen to like Opiate, there's a couple live songs. It's almost like exactly the same. There's like two or three live tracks that they recorded off of there. And I think that was the same with Beginning of All Things to End.
Okay.
And just the dirtiness of the tone kind of, it reminded me of it today. I never thought about it.
You kind
of
fucked me up with the Mudvayne thing, man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
weird,
like
right?
That, yeah.
I never thought of it.
I'm terrible with song titles, but Prod is the one that's like,
fucks it up, right?
Big time. Huh. I think that Maynard will still try and keep it interesting, like because that guy, like you think you've got a hold of him and you can find out what he's doing, then he just does something completely different, and you're like, oh shit.
Do you think that the thing that you brought up, do you think it's on this album or just everything?
It's
that you
everything.
Heard?
I mean, okay. There's Schism. They do the same shit in the Schism, and it's always like a little stuttered drum pattern. a bass line. The guitar is just kind of like resonating or doing something. And then he comes in with the little pattern vocal.
It's definitely their style. Kind of thing.
And there's
Tool-y.
See, that's where, like, I don't mind Tool at all. I'm not going to sit there and listen to a whole album.
Yeah.
Even though I just did. And, you know, and I'll go through them if we want to go through them all. But, like, it's one of those ones that if I got my shit on random and it comes on, I'm not going to turn it.
Yeah. See, I think you gotta hear them in random. I think a whole album for you is fucked up.
Yeah. Because it's kind of drawn out with too much space in between. Like, I'm a riff guy. I want to hear the riffs.
I think that's what hurt Fear Inoculum initially. Because I caught on to it since then. But, you know, all that right in a row, out of place when I was shuffling it, was way better.
It was exhausting that first time. You're like, whoa, I just can't. But then, for whatever reason, for me, it just hit.
I hear you. It turns, for some people, it turns around. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's why I was excited to do this, because I've never listened to this entire album.
See, that's a hard one to get into if, like, you're not really well-versed in them. That's why I wanted to start back in the beginning.
Inoculum?
Yeah. Because it's, like, something you can't just fucking listen to that shit.
It worked for me. I go against the grain, apparently. There's no consistency.
Wait till next week. He'll tell us what he really thinks about
Undertow. Listen here, the fucking problem, though.
I don't think I do, because I don't do drugs, I can't get, like, fully into it.
You know, to be honest, that might have a lot to do with it.
Especially Fear Inoculum, man. Some of those songs were, like, way out there, where this was more direct. Like we had said previously.
See, here's the thing with Maynard, too, that I noticed. Like, on these early ones, maybe it's not as much, but at a certain point, definitely in Anima, and more so for sure Lateralis on, it's like it's more like a chant or a mantra than a vocal pattern. Like he's got these stutter steps here and there, like you were talking about, and the way he kind of like he'll stall a note, like where you think it's coming in, he'll wait another second and bring it back in, or do these little weird twists and turns. It's really cool, like to kind of follow along. Like if you had to like karaoke that shit, I'm sure a lot of people would probably be thrown off if you're not expecting it.
Yeah, exactly. It's exhausting. I couldn't imagine writing like that, but he's got it down.
it's kind of a cool process the way he kind of goes through it. Like he was talking about on Rogan's podcast, it's worth checking out. But
mm-hmm. Oh, that was a good one.
The last couple things, I guess, young Maynard has this kind of raw power and energy to him in these early sessions to me. That just, like, it hits.
He's not as held back. He's more on the mic, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
You get him more directly.
A little bit more intense with like his screams and shit when he really gets into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I think so.
And to get what you were saying, Ivan, about how you kind of felt along the lines where you wouldn't listen to a whole Tool album, it takes like 2 minutes, 3 minutes, whatever. I felt that, just like I said when I was talking this weekend, this album for me was like more direct results. Like it was like kind of what I wanted.
Yeah, this is as straightforward as they're going to come. Yeah.
Right. There was no 4 minute buildups. And
it still lingers for me.
Does it really?
Yeah.
See, I was wondering if that, is it like in the middle of songs or just straight up throughout it?
It's because they do it too often. I mean, like if they had a song where it was like that, then the next song was more like driven, and then another song, you know, just mix it up. But like, it's like every song is kind of like,
because here's an interesting thing. Now that you actually mention it, there is the guy that mixed the album. This is a direct quote from Adam.
Did you read it? Okay. So you took another one from me.
Yeah.
He likes his steak without the fat, and he likes to trim off the fat. For a formula that sells, that's what he wanted to do. And then they pretty much said "fuck you," that they're going to do it the way they want to do it. And they eventually got their way. But
I get that.
And it's crazy to think that they became successful off of that shit. Because especially if you think nowadays everybody's attention span—they're just like they're going to do what they want to do all the time. And that's fucking awesome to me.
Not to bring in typo negative, but when October Rust was coming out on Roadrunner, they put it in their contract that they wouldn't let any Roadrunner execs, no producers, come out hear it at all. And they still expected Roadrunner to promote this album. They didn't get the master tracks until right before it came out in time for production. For whatever reason, Roadrunner trusted them because Peter was like, well, fuck you, we're going to do what we want. And that worked. That was their most successful album.
I think that's what fucks me up with radio bands sometimes. Not to put it all on them. Like, everything has to be, like, 7-minute songs. But I like bands that kind of stick to what they want from the beginning. You know what I mean? That's why I think I had as much problem with the Bad Wolves as I did.
I get that.
I'd rather see them do their thing, kind of like they did with Disobey, as opposed to kind of these tighter, more radio-friendly things.
It's true.
But, you know, it's not wrong here or there, I guess.
Right.
Either way.
They're not in their basement talking about it.
In Northwest Indiana.
Exactly. So Intolerance is done. We got Prison Sex up next. Man.
Drop B.
Drop B, is that what it is?
Yeah, just the top string.
That's crazy, yeah, man.
You like that? I thought you liked that. Yeah. You like thick stuff.
I do.
Deep, thick stuff.
I had it on there that it was thick. Chorus is such a payoff for me. The whole thing is smooth and thick. The only complaint that I had with Prison Sex is I didn't hear the bass as clean as I'd want it to in that song. I don't know if that
actually probably makes sense.
Yeah?
Yeah. Probably especially at that time. I don't know how many bands were probably tuning to like that drop B lower string like that. So maybe they were having a hard time, you know, kind of differentiating
with the
songs.
Mix.
Yeah.
They just dissed that song.
Because that one, like, that's one of the few ones where it has that riff, that bass riff break.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Because you could hear it when it was just that, but I'm talking about collectively.
Exactly,
yeah.
Yeah, that, yeah, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah.
Do any of you guys have fucking facts for Prison Sex? Because I have facts.
No,
go
I have nothing.
Okay,
go do it.
Okay.
I do that. I'm sure I do have it. Something where he said that he wasn't sure how people would like it because of the title.
Oh, really?
He,
I didn't know that.
He thought it would set him off from it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Prison Sex.
Yeah, exactly.
It's one of the actual videos, though. That's what's
we've
crazy.
All seen the movie American History X, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Prison
oh,
Sex.
Horrible. This was the second single off the album. This was well noted throughout the band to have the anti-climax code. This was memorable verses and choruses that dissolve into an unrelated, quiet final section. MTV stopped airing the video after multiple complaints came through associating it with child abuse. Per Maynard at a performance in Quebec, he said that the song is about recognizing, identifying the cycle of abuse within yourself. That's the first step of the process. Realization and identifying is the next step. You have to work through it. The song is about the first step in the process, which is recognizing.
Yeah, because in the lyrics it describes somebody getting molested, then mm-hmm. they become the molester.
Yep.
Circle has come. No, I have come full circle. Yeah.
So the rumors are that it's about his stepfather. He's been well known in interviews to say that he hated his stepfather. And
yeah, I'd never heard anything for sure. I was kind of wondering that.
It's pretty clear.
Yeah, it sounds like it to me.
Peaked at number 32 on the billboards as far as singles go in 1994.
Interesting.
I thought that was interesting because everybody knows that fucking song.
Blood shit and come on my hands.
Breaking Benjamin did a cover of it, and it was actually
this?
Really good. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Prison Sex.
Yeah. I heard it on Sirius, man. It was pretty good.
We're going to look it up once this is over.
Yeah. Be like Animals Fall as shit.
It's going to be weird.
I know. That's kind of crazy,
yeah,
right?
I can't think of them singing anything like that.
I will not break. What do you guys got for that song?
Really, the only thing I wrote anything for was Intolerance, and that's because I thought Jonathan Davis may have been inspired by that kind of vocal style.
Yeah, I could kind of see, because they were talking Freak on a Leash. It's kind of like that minor key, and then like he kind of sings like a happy pattern over it, supposedly like a major key fucking melody or some shit.
Well, think about it, man. This time, early 90s, all these new metal acts are coming out, and I'm not going to dare say that
this
Tool
was
new metal.
This is like the
metal,
height of fucking grunge and
yeah,
shit, too.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And they cut through, man. Cut through the fat.
They left their fat.
Yes, they did. I do, too. I don't like fat on my steak, man. I always give it to the dogs, man.
I hear it's what gives it the flavor, though.
I'll chew.
Yeah.
I'll chew.
That's a bit.
Sober.
Sober.
First single.
I want to be sober.
No, that's the wrong
one. Oh,
bad.
It's the wrong one?
That was last
oh,
week.
God damn it. Those are my notes for last week. I'm sorry.
Hit this one off, man. What do you got?
It's iconic, dude. Like, when you think of Tool, mm-hmm. I remember just being, like, back in the early days, the video. Like,
that's the earliest memory I have of Tool, sober.
Just seeing that thing go through the pipes and shit. Like, what else, like, looked like that back in the day as far
Nothing.
As the videos on MTV went, you know?
Nothing, man. Tool was that band that my older cousin would listen to, and I'd see, like, the posters and stuff, and I'd be like, man, he's got an edge to him. This band's
I remember seeing the like, the stickers, and I'm like, that's a dick.
Right? Yeah, the Tool wrench or whatever?
Yep.
Nice. Good call.
First single... Adam Jones said, according to Reddit, this was on a Tool Reddit that I found, this was written about a friend of the band whose artistic expression only came out when he was under the influence.
Hmm.
Goes back to what I was saying. I don't think I understand it because I don't partake.
Right. But here's the thing that kind of fucked me up. It was kind of like a double negative. Why can't we not be sober?
Why can't we just stay straight?
Mm-hmm. It just was like, huh. Because you can think of it in two different ways. And Tool, Maynard is one of the hardest people for me to break down vocally next to Chino Marino. I have no idea what they're talking about.
Lyrical content.
Thank you.
He does throw these things in there that throw people off.
Big time.
Like, for sure.
Yeah.
It makes me think of when, oh man, who's those dudes that do the reviews that we watch? I can't.
Lost in Vegas?
Lost in Vegas. Shout out to Lost in Vegas. When they're, what song were they listening to from Deftones? And they thought it was about sex.
Is it Digital Bath?
I don't remember.
That would probably make sense.
But he was like, "This has got to be about sex," and I think it was about either like throwing like a toaster and
I think it was Digital Bath for that one.
To be fair, though, Chino was coked out of his mind for all of White Pony, so I don't even think he knew what he was talking about, you know. But I mean, one of their fucking songs were called Knife Party.
Well, there you go.
And then the album comes out like, "Wait, when did we do that?"
Right? Exactly. but no, this was one of those songs that, of course, everybody knows. I remember watching it on Beavis and Butthead when they were making fun of the video, but somehow still praising it. I don't remember Beavis and Butthead ever.
It's like that's when Beavis they told that line, you know?
Yeah.
Even when they make fun
Winger,
of Pantera.
Winger right. thought they ruined their career.
Yeah.
Oh, you sent me that thing. Yeah, yeah, that was crazy, man. It's kind of sad.
The only other thing I got with it, it's such a dark song, but like the way, like you can just easily sing along to it, you know?
Absolutely.
I think that's what put them up that higher echelon of like music, because it's not just heavy vocals, it's all melodic.
That's true.
That's the thing that kind of sells it for him.
The way that it was presented had that already appeal that like someone was gonna go, oh, that's just screaming, I'm turning it
off,
you know.
Yeah. And then how about that drum fill?
Oh, so delicious. Drum fill was absolutely awesome. The timing of it was just fucking crazy, going back to our opening it up and just changing it. The open bass sequence at the end with the hi-hat letting that ride out. I mean, that belongs in, like, if there's like, we should start like a top 50 like musical component section of all these bands of all time.
Top 50,
because we can't.
It's gonna be like a 5-hour show, dude. We could barely do top 10
right?
without
you do,
breaking.
You do, we could do 10 a week.
There you go. But
we'll do what Josta does.
Would you guys at least put that? Would you say that if this this fictional episode would be in place, you would put Tool in there?
For
like one of the most iconic sounds, like even just
for a sound, it's hard not to.
I think the only one I would have would be Schism.
Schism's fucking sweet too. Can we just put that in there too? Fake episode, we're already doing it, man.
See, I think they got this thing where you either love it or hate it, you know?
It's true.
Like it's just straight
or you're
up
just
their thing.
Okay with it.
Yeah. I don't think many people are okay with it.
No, they're not.
I know a lot of, like, that song Schism came out.
Are
like
you talking about just this song? What do you mean?
Because back in the day, like, when it first came out, Schism 01, I was still in high school, and like, I never thought there was anything bad about it. Like, I was just kind of open to it, and I was like, all my friends were like, that song sucks. It's all long and stuff. I was like, I guess I never thought of it that way.
It's all long.
You know, I was like, it just really is like,
I always liked it.
They're like, all I like is that that middle part with that dan, da, dan, da, dan.
Oh,
I was like,
man,
I guess people have different tastes.
I guess
know.
So. I only heard of it because of Ivan walking around Brian's garage. We were sitting out one night. It was like 2 a.m. and we were sitting. Remember when he had the hot tub in the garage and we had the strobe light on? And you're like, you guys ever see the Schism video? And this was probably right around that time. I was like, no, I've heard it on Q101. Shout out to Q101 when they were Q101. But you did the head walking thing. Yeah. You were doing it in the garage. I was like, oh, this is crazy. Yeah. And then we watched it. I was like, man.
I remember doing that.
Not to spend too much time on it, but even with like that one, like it's that bass centered kind of thing. Dan, 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 and like, it's such a weird like timing and shit. Like, how do you put vocals to it?
Exactly.
He kind of follows it, the accents on the bass. I know the pieces fit because I watched him follow.
But that's his vocal
it.
Style.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I think a lot of it has to do with like what you can do in the timing and shit, right. How off the wall
it's
it
fucking
is.
Fucking talent, man. Getting back real quick, we'll move on. Deftones, they did that song with Maynard Passenger.
Yeah.
And they, when they went into this, Chino said that he was going to let Maynard take over as far as the timing and what they were doing. Said that they had a whole whiteboard and just these mathematical equations that he was putting up. And they were like, you do what you do, man. And that's how they wrote the song, essentially, was with this formula.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I remember you telling me that.
Probably like said how, it somewhere.
Yeah.
I'm always on Chino's dick. The other thing that I wanted to say was I read on songfacts.com an interview with Kirk Hammett. He said that in 2006 he got to play sober with the band live in Hawaii, and he said it was one of the most profound jamming experiences that he's ever had.
Seeing him live, dude, it really changed everything for me.
Yeah?
I'd like to see him live. I'd go to a show, but...
I would like... If we could all go, I think that'd be crazy. Just to feel the energy and shit. Because whether you like it or not, they're kind of like a jam band, just in their own terms. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to do these accentuated, like, sections. They're gonna morph and twist these things as far as they can, get as much out of them. And when you're, like, kind of there in the crowd and you see all these lights going off and shit, you feel the mood and shit. It's pretty cool.
It's awesome. Yeah, that would be awesome to see, man. We still got to get your brother on for you guys to do that review. Yeah. The show.
Pro show.
Chicago show, United Center.
Pro show.
Anything else on Sober?
No.
No? We're good?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. I've been waiting for this one, baby. Bottom. Bottom. That, right off the bat, is such a fun fucking riff. And the way that this, it is so unlike Danny Carey to kind of like follow Adam more. Because it felt, I don't want to say this in a negative way, but it felt dumbed down for Carey.
Yeah, you I think this album probably would be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, but it worked. More straightforward. Yeah,
but the accentuating on every other snare hit and stuff, it just kind of had that like bouncy feel. And as far as even playing it goes, I can imagine, because you're like, dun, 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 you're kind of like going around the frets, right?
Well, yeah, that's usually how you play guitar.
That's how you play guitar. But like, you're making bigger jumps, though, with that one, I would assume, right? Oh,
it's interesting hearing the way you describe guitar parts.
Yeah.
It really is.
I'm a novice. I'm not even.
I was gonna say, do you think they ever like he ever came in like, hey, check out this drum part, and then they just fit some riffs to it?
Probably. I would, if I had to guess, it would be for later Tool, like our more Tool we know now.
Yeah, for sure. I think so.
This album especially, I think, was riff oriented. I think they came
that
through.
Or he, like, especially later on, I feel like he either somebody comes up with that riff or maybe that bass part, and then he tries to fit polyrhythms over it and shit.
It's crazy.
Which is
just came with experience, right? Yeah. We finally got the bass to cut through on this song I wrote. Bass. I was
because
very
it's
excited.
Called Bottom.
Bottom. Ayo. Amateur build. As compared to what I'm used to from Tool, has a really dated sound that still gets me hard, is what I wrote.
For 93, it really does have a cool sound, I think.
Something about the sound, I almost forgot about this. Adam Jones kept his guitar head in a refrigerator.
Yeah. It's in my notes. I just...
It was fucking bore. It was a vintage 1976 Marshall non-master volume bass head.
That's pretty crazy, man. Like, I never heard of any of this shit.
And he did it to preserve it because he couldn't find another one.
That's crazy. Maybe we should start doing that. Leave our equipment outside.
Yeah.
I
think we used to.
Yeah.
I think we used to because it was in the garage.
Yeah, we fucked it up by bringing it inside.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I'm so disappointed with that one because it was such a cool fact. We were probably all at the same time today. Like, you split the screen up, all three of us. We're like,
I got these notes. These guys aren't going to be prepared for.
This is what happens. This is what happens when everybody does their homework.
Yeah.
This is what happens, Larry. This is what happens.
It's what happens when everybody does their homework cheating on the same website.
That's true. has that music that I... okay. So, nice and fun. Nice and bouncy. Using different frets, which is how you play guitar, obviously. The lyrics were so fucking crazy to this song.
Dude, I got them on here. I got the Rollins part.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I got is that the part you wanted?
I want to talk about that, too, but I want to talk about the break. There was that musical break, like, after that second verse, I believe. And I feel that was purposely put in there for a reflection on the lyrics, man.
It could be.
I was like, wow. Because I was listening to it, and I was like, holy shit. And then, like, I just kind of stopped, and then you had that, like, cool little break. It's like, man, maybe this is, like, let you take it all in for a minute. Like, what just happened to me?
Yeah, there's parts on here that we can kind of get into that I think kind of does that, too.
Yeah.
You done with yours?
I'm done. Hit me.
Do you want to go or do you want to
go? Go ahead.
Okay.
I don't really have nothing.
I haven't looked so upset and so... It bums me out, man. I'm really bummed out that you're not having a good time.
No, I really am. Like I said, I don't dislike Tool. I don't discredit them at all. They are a master of their own domain. But it's hard for me to just put it in and just jam to it.
Yeah.
I need my riffs. I need my grooves. I need, you know.
It's weird because this album, I feel, has
that. That's kind of the reason why I don't like Doom.
See,
I don't like stoner.
I see what
rock.
You mean.
I don't like this. Like, it's not that I don't like it. It's just that I can't sit there and listen to an entire
it's
album.
It's like the sleep album we were talking about back in the day.
Yeah.
Fuck this.
Yeah. Puts me to
you
sleep.
Because I thought, I wanted to start here because I figured at best, this would probably be the one you'd most be into. But
there's songs I do dig.
So,
but
yeah, it's not gonna get any better from here, buddy.
Schism.
But I'm curious to see, like,
that's my all-time favorite one.
If we ever get through here, I'm curious to see what tracks do stand out for you. I'm curious. But as far as bottom goes, shit adds up at the bottom. Heavy chorus, possibly Maynard's best vocals on this song.
I could see that.
But it's definitely got his highest scream. I put like the 552 mark. And then Rollins, Need I Say More?
Yep.
I like the live aspect jam of that section where they're just kind of riding on it. That's usually where they would be like, so how are we doing tonight, Cleveland? I'm not going to say Chicago.
Hello, Chicago!
Are we feeling it? You guys feeling at the bottom? Mm. But no. I got you want me to pull those lyrics up?
Yeah, okay, yeah, let's do it.
Oh, shit, beans don't burn on the grill. That's what I was thinking.
Beans don't... Touche, sir.
I said don't fry on the grill, but don't burn on the
You're
grill.
You're funny when you talk shit. You should do it more often. Instead of leaving it all up to me.
You're quick with it, though. I got to sit on it for a minute. I was like, oh, I should have said that.
Aren't you due back at the lab to have your bolts tightened? I should have said that. Okay, you ready? I'm going to try to do it in my Rollins voice.
There you go.
If I let you, you would make me destroy myself.
That's his inner Batman.
In order to survive you. I must first survive myself, and I can sink no further, and I cannot forgive you. There's no choice but to confront you, to engage you, to erase you. I've gone to great lengths to expand my threshold of pain. I will use my mistakes against you. There's no other choice. Shameless now. Nameless now. Nothing now. No one now. And my soul must be iron, because my fear is naked. I'm naked and fearless. And my fear is naked.
And my fear is naked.
Forever and ever. Right. Amen.
You want to know why? Because
I'm a liar.
I was jamming that the other day. That's
such
a good
song.
Dude, Rollins Band's underrated, dude. He's got
I like Rollins.
He's got a cool jam band. Dude.
He was on Unsolved Mysteries.
Was it really?
Yep. Him and his friend were walking back at nighttime from like a little quick store, like Quickie Mart or something like that.
Is this when he was talking about his friend getting jumped or murdered?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then they walked up the steps and somebody came to rob him. I think they had the door open or something like that. The dude just shot his friend and Rollins just took off through the house.
Oh, shit. I remember hearing it on a podcast. I forget which one, but yeah, he kind of talks about it. It's crazy.
But as you were reading that, something popped in my head, something I posted on Facebook recently the guy, the comedian with the really high-pitched voice that he does.
Bobcat?
No, I thought you were going to say it. Oh, God. Gilbert Godfrey.
What were you going to say? I was about to say that.
Yeah, Gilbert Godfrey was reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, my God.
He was like, his thumb was inserted in my vagina. It was so great.
Dude, we should, if we can figure out, like, a Gilbert Godfrey voice, we should do, like, this, like, in the Gilbert Godfrey voice.
It's all now. God.
Shameless now. If the price is right, we could just see if he'll do it.
Dude.
give me 5 cents. I'll save. Fuck, I ruined it. What was it? On Family Guy with, I think it was Joe Pesci.
Oh.
He was like, give me a quarter and I'll say something funny or something like that.
I think I remember what you're talking about. One of them cutaways from Family Guy or something. Yeah.
That was good, though, by the way.
Thank you.
That was very good.
I couldn't. I could have done better. I'm sorry.
No, it was good.
You channeled your inner Batman.
I tried.
Yeah, we should do stuff like in the Henry Rollins voice, like serious stuff, like tell the news.
It's over now.
To get back on verse 2, I really like that. I'm broken, looking up to see the enemy, and I have swallowed the poison you feed me, but I survive on the poison you feed me, leaving me guilt-fed, hatred-fed, weakness-fed. I thought this was crazy.
Yeah, I think that's
probably
part that I had too, yeah.
Yeah, was it? Was it really?
I didn't save it, but yeah, I was looking at him, yeah.
Oh, fuck. My bad. I thought that was the scene.
No,
was the meaner part.
Maybe I'm thinking of the other part.
Yeah.
There's a different section, but...
Because I was seeing that in my Maynard
head. I think it's cool.
You got a low self-opinion, man. I love that song too, man.
He's cool, man. I like that guy.
The song finishes off. It's got those nice bouncy solid snare hits. The double bass, too. That was really, really cool.
I like that.
It just was ugly. I mean, it was ugly clean. Like, pretty. Like, I liked it. It's probably, like, so far going into this, this is my top song going into these couple tracks.
I was thinking it might be. I was thinking.
Not that I consider us the caliber of Tool, but I could see this song sounding, if you were like, oh, hey, we jammed and came out with something like this, I could see that because that's kind of our style.
Mm-hmm.
That more just bouncy kind of finding that groove feel. No Henry Rollins, though.
Unfortunately.
I know, right?
I was going to say it'd be a shame.
So what you got? You ready for the next one?
I'm ready for the next one. Crawl Away.
Solid riffs, man.
Yep.
Love song? Question mark?
It's a good question. I didn't get that by any means.
Oh, you don't get that?
I don't get that.
Oh, go ahead with your ideas.
I don't get that.
Go ahead with your ideas.
I said this is the best song that is holding down the low end on the album so far. This one, it just seemed like, I obviously know the other songs were dark, but this one just sounded more dark, and maybe because they were playing lower.
Do you think so?
I thought so. That's why I wrote it. Because
to me, even when it starts off with that riff, the dan it, no.
Just how it fits. It was really good.
Thank you.
It's one of the reasons I like this one.
Yeah.
Because it had a riff.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. Crash ride pattern turned into the hi-hat again. It changes the whole dynamic flawlessly. You didn't really feel it. I did write, stick a knife in, and I put Danzig with a question mark because it reminded me of Danzig.
Who doesn't love Danzig?
Danzig! It's the less Tool-y song on the record so far. I said this reminds me of Corrosion Conformity a little bit as far as the music goes. It's kind of a little bit more of that groove thrashness.
Is this the one that dan-dan-dan-dan-dan?
Yep. It reminds me of Vote with a Bullet, and I think that's why, the way that the pattern was.
No, I think I'm thinking of Swamp Song, maybe.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. And then it had the thrash at the end of it.
To me, this one, the lyrics, that I just put like a little section, but what you're trying to say that you don't want to play, what you want and what you mean need don't mean that much to me. I can see your back is turning. If I could, I'd stick a knife in. That's not a love song to you?
I don't think
love
so.
Love gone bad?
I don't think so. Maybe just because I don't see...
Well, I mean, you could put it to a fucking, like, a friend that kind of...
That's how I took it.
Back. Yeah. But I feel like there was something else in there. So next time, I'm just going to copy all the lyrics.
That wouldn't be a bad idea. I liked in there how he put, I don't mean a fuck to me. Like how he said,
oh,
fuck.
Fuck
like, yeah,
me.
I thought that was cool. I thought that was really cool. Nice vocal ending.
If I could, I'd stick a knife at...
See, even that kind of reminded me of Danzig a little bit. Not that so much, right? Yeah. But it just it reminded me of that. In no way am I comparing
it. I think it comes through the throat more.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more technical, like I'm talking technical terms, singing wise. If you don't know, I'm sorry. But it kind of comes through the throat and it kind of does that frog in the throat kind of thing that you don't like with Danzig, I think. But when, like for me and Maynard, you could tell he's using it. It just don't sound as appalling to certain ears with that, because I know people really don't seem to like that. I think maybe Red was like this too, though.
Yeah, he
with
hated
the
Danzig
voice.
Yeah,
because I know you don't like his vocals too, right? Yeah.
And that's the thing, is that, like, no disrespect, but like that's what you hear. So you hear like an "Oh mother," but there's like so much more to it. You know what I mean? Like he does it in those couple of songs, but he's got
like he goes all out. Like it's like when he stays in his lower pocket register, it's probably not as bad.
Right.
When he does like those higher ones, mm-hmm. it's like, man, you're really fucking.
You're really gonna hurt yourself.
Yeah. Well, like in "She Rides," like oh, he does that whole thing.
Well,
but
if she's riding good, you're gonna be screaming. Like,
yeah. Imagine Danzig having sex with.
Oh no.
Swamp Song.
I dug it.
I hope it sucks you down.
I wrote that. I fucking wrote that down.
I like how
yes.
They, yeah, fuck your punk music.
Oh, no. I didn't do it. I got to reverse that.
You slapped that book out of your hands. Like,
slap hands. Right?
Slap hand. Cool laid-back verse followed by the intense chorus. I wrote dynamics because they keep switching back and forth and they kind of like kill it a little bit and then they bring it back.
Okay.
Around 3-minute mark is kind of a glimpse into the proggy kind of stuff that they kind of go into.
Agreed. I will completely agree to back you on that proggy thing. The vocals totally mirror Adam, but the drums totally frame it. They set it all up, man. It just works. It's
You know, one thing I didn't mention on Crawl Away, that's the one that has that thrashy part at the end.
Yes.
Not to get sidetracked, I was just looking back at my notes.
It is, and I really like that. And I think that's why I was saying the corrosion. Thank you. I picked up, man, and it wasn't Thule.
No, they never really do it like that.
Nope, they don't pick it back up.
I think that's probably it.
Corrosion, baby.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Could we just say how fucking sludgy this song is? It just fit with Swamp Song. It started off very sludgy.
They played that, they've been doing on this tour, one song from Intolerance.
I saw his quick look at his notes.
Fact five. Does the dolphin call you at home?
Does he know you by name?
So that was another thing I wanted to add in there.
Do the dolphin noise. That's actually pretty good.
Thank you.
I'm up on the daily.
He practices.
And practice. You can quote him. I'm glad we're having fun.
This is good.
Now we're having fun. I lost where I was at. What were you going to say?
We were talking about the progginess.
Yeah.
I then said how...
But I mentioned...
Then you stole his notes.
Yeah.
Oh, about how they've been playing...
One song from Undertow.
Mm-hmm.
At my show, they did Intolerance.
Did they really?
I saw one where they did Swamp Song.
Okay.
So...
That was my Swamp Song thing.
Yeah.
Do you have the date?
November 3rd?
November 18th. You heard it here first.
I said Intolerance was November 3rd, motherfucker. Bitter asshole. I hope it sucks you down.
You heard it here first.
Fucking Kurt Loder. 10 minutes every hour on the hour. You're hearing on TV. God, why am I still doing this? South Park. Oh, man. This the power chords, that whole section in the middle with the nice tight little drum rolls, I thought was really attention grabby. The boom, letting it all kind of like roll out. Like you said, going back in, leaving, going back in. It was good, man. It was a fucking fun song.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I really did.
I know it's not happy like you like it, but, you know, I'm just throwing.
Oh, where are we at here?
Undertow?
Undertow.
To me, this is the opposite of where Swamp Song was, where it comes right into it and lays back in the chorus. This is the one that goes...
There you go.
But great riff bringing the verse back. There's the heavy part. I wish I could remember it to mime it for you because I was thinking of you guys.
I was really hoping that we could mime it because I even wrote down the timing for it because I was... What band are we talking about right there with that?
Sing it so I can think.
I can't. Because when I wrote the notes, I was like, these guys are going to say the same band that I am writing down. So let's go here.
Mastodon?
Boom!
Oh!
Circle gets a
that
square.
That did remind me of something. I couldn't think of it earlier.
It's because of the...
Bam, bam. I want a high five.
Yes! Damn. Right?
Yeah, Swampy Mike hands.
No, sorry.
No, I was talking about mine.
Oh.
I was like, you both do. What are you talking about?
I'm always Swampy. I wasn't allowed to play with his guitar because he said I was like a child.
No, that was red.
That was red.
Every time he played my guitar, my strings rusted. Fell off rusty. We should have just called him Rusty. What the fuck were we thinking? Why did we never do that?
Awesome.
Oh,
I was like, God damn it, now I gotta get that string cleaner out.
Oh man, but I'm so excited.
I love Red. Love you, buddy.
I broke my pen when I was angry about
that.
Totally Mastodon. It reminded me of something that would have been off of Remission.
Definitely.
Yeah, I'd say that or definitely Leviathan, one of the two.
Back when I still liked
probably
the band.
Probably more Remission now that you're talking about it.
I got a problem with Mastodon now.
Oh, here we go.
I'm bitter.
Tangent.
Yeah, I'm not...
Feeling the more...
too much.
It's almost since they became more popular, right?
Absolutely. Which is, I'm a poser. Old punk guy doesn't like when things are popular. But some might say that they have the Tool effect now.
How so?
What do you mean?
8 to 9 minute songs.
But they've been
always headlong songs.
Okay. Yes, I'll agree with you. The first two albums we're talking about, Remission and Leviathan,
it was
strictly.
Almost more mostly like instrumentals.
Exactly, but the payoff was right there. It might have been 13 minutes long for the Red Baron song, right? But
yeah, but
you got the
results. That's 2009, though. Yeah, you're talking
true.
Early on, like Hearts Alive.
That's true.
From Leviathan.
I'm just not a fan anymore. I think it's just too much. It's too much.
I think
once more around the song.
Are you mad that it's... like more radio, hard rock stuff?
No.
Are you worried about like the time length and shit?
The more time length. Because
I think that more about Crack the Sky. Granted, yeah, I haven't really listened to the other
awesome
ones that
albums.
Came after that. Those are all long songs. There's 7 songs.
Right. But
so that is Tool effect in effect.
In effect. I don't know. I just, maybe I was more interested in Mastodon with their long songs, whereas Tool, when I would think, this didn't really do it for me. But now I'm coming from the fact of me actually liking Tool. So this is kind of recent. So now we'll just add it to the pile of other shit that we're going to talk about.
Yeah.
Should do some Mastodon stuff.
Remember when I used to like Mastodon?
Good for Godfrey. Yeah, Blood and Thunder had Neil from Clutch. Anything else on
He put his thumb in my vagina.
Great riff bringing the verse back, and then the tempo changes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes.
4 degrees. Different vocal approach right off the bat. He did not sound like this at all in any other song.
Sure.
You don't think so? It didn't strike me any different.
I think he sounded higher than he normally does.
Like stone?
Yeah, no. But just as far as the actual pitch goes.
It's probably after, because he shot the shotgun.
Right?
I shot the shotgun.
So
didn't shoot the revolver? I don't know.
So we'll figure that out later. Don't worry about it. We'll fix that in post.
Before I even got here, me and JD were talking about the meaning of the song. And the thing with Tool is you don't know what the fuck he's talking about for most of it.
Let me see if I saved any of it. Continue.
So I went on Tool's a Reddit thread on Tool, and there was a lot of convincing threads that they were saying that the song is written about the difference between the temperature of the anal cavity versus the vaginal cavity.
I didn't know that. I was wondering what the difference would be in the sexual orientation.
So,
okay.
So the b-hole's hotter.
That's cool.
4 degrees hotter. It's not, actually.
Not cooler. it's warmer.
It's hot. Hot fudge.
Which then led me to going into the lyrics. Let's go digging, bring it out, and then take it back in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So might as well go along with it. And then another interesting, and I love Reddit, by the way. Fucking love Reddit. Another fellow Redditor said, well, if there is a song about Tool that you don't know, it's just pretty safe to play it and say that they are talking about anal.
Yeah, that they kind of hide it in crudeness.
God bless the internet. God bless Al Gore for creating the internet, apparently. The song's good, man. I dig it. There's really not anything that I'm going to say that's groundbreaking. You know what I mean about the song?
Yeah, this one, compared to everything else, is kind of like, it's all right. Mm-hmm. Like, it's got that nice sitar intro. Yep. Then I wrote, is it a song about anal sex or global warming? Or both? Not like preachy whatever, but right. You know how if the earth raises up so many degrees, it's just dead for everybody. You know, I was like, But turns out it's anal sex. Or maybe not.
Or not. Who knows?
Or not.
Who knows?
Either way.
Al Gore knows.
Yeah, he does. He does.
He wrote the song.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, right. Exactly. Kamala Harris was like, I was that singer. you got anything else on that one?
No, that's all.
What about you?
No.
No.
You brought up the lyrics, right?
I did about.
You sang it, right?
Yeah. Well, I didn't sing. I spoke it.
Hey, pussy.
I'm not a good Maynard, man.
Is anybody?
No.
That's it.
Flood.
Flood. I like Flood. It's heavy. That's the one that's got that long intro kind of building up to it.
It does. Now,
it really does get heavy.
It does really get heavy. I put that I really liked how the drums sounded different because it was like just a different... once again, not trying to say anything negative, but it was a more watered-down Tool than what I'm used to. It's a more watered-down Danny Carey. And maybe we're talking about really, really young Danny Carey that's still building his craft, that it's there. You know, he's that fucking young Padawan that's got the powers. But he doesn't know how to craft it yet.
He's Anakin Skywalker.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Or is he Luke Skywalker?
Just less whiny. He's Anakin. The drum buildup reminded me of a tutorial YouTube video on how to do a hardcore breakdown, like an East Coast hardcore breakdown. I just thought that was worth noting. This song took me a while to get into. I tried it a few times, going back and forth with the buildup. I was like, oh, okay. This was kind of my middle of the road song for this album. I was like, it's good.
Interesting.
That's all I got. Kind of like an Ivan. Like, it was cool. You know?
Yeah. I like it. It's heavy. That's about it, though.
See? So you're kind of along the same page.
I never used to listen to it back in the day.
No?
It wasn't until recently that I started digging into it.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I should probably listen to it more.
It does. That's one thing about Tool, is that it does change the more often you hear a song. You kind of get a different interpretation of it.
Yeah, it definitely seems to be the case for me.
Yeah, that was the Fear Inoculum thing for me.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. You guys ready?
I'm
disgustipated.
I didn't even write anything.
I did. Can I have facts? I can have the spotlight for myself.
It's all yours, buddy.
Song was just a little bit over 15 minutes, which
I did listen to it all at work, though.
Did you really?
I did.
It goes well at work. Now, if I did my animal facts correctly, this song was 22% of the album.
Because on the album, dude, there's like, it's track 69. Yep. And everything after track 9 is just silence for
2 seconds.
Is it really?
Yep. Them, like, hidden
they did like a Mushroomhead thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or Mushroomhead did their thing, I guess.
It is unbelievable how long this song is. It's unbelievable how...
Drugs.
Yeah.
It's just drugs.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
End of the review right there. Do we know how the song title got created? Any of you guys read those fucking facts?
No, because I thought I'd leave you something.
It's taken from a Popeye comic book in the 30s. Combined the feeling of disgust and exasperation with a situation that included olive oil.
See, I thought it was just constipated
like
with
olive
disgust.
Oil. Popeye, olive oil. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
is it really?
Yeah, for real.
Oh, I was making that connection, but I wasn't sure if it was because you could use olive oil for gross things.
That's
as well.
True. That's true.
I had no idea
to help with the 4-degree difference. Right?
Yeah, it's cooking.
So this whole beginning, this what? Not even the beginning. The whole fucking time that Maynard is talking, they think that this person in 1994 article of BAM magazine that I was able to pull up. 1994. I went deep into the Jedi archives here. Tool did a performance in 1993 at the Scientology Celebrity Center.
We know how they love Scientologists.
Yeah, exactly. So apparently, now of course, I feel that Tool can be the Andy Kaufman of the metal world.
For sure. You know? One of their biggest influences is Bill Hicks.
Oh, then there you go. Oh, because he got a credit on that.
He got a credit on that, and then he got on Enema, they use some of his stand-up.
No shit. That's crazy.
Third Eye.
So they say that the band didn't know that they were playing at the Scientology Center, whereas other people say that they did. Apparently, there was a heated exchange.
I don't think anything goes over their head.
No, I don't think so either. I think Maynard's too intelligent to even come anywhere near that. But, you know, we already talked about the shotgun on the piano.
Not only that, Henry Rollins' guitarist, Chris Haskett, I think is how you say it, smashed it with the sledgehammer, earning him a spot in the album credits.
That's pretty awesome, man.
That was reading random shit, too, like the way the cover art was originally. It was just like a fat and naked woman and a skinny
dude.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. And then there's like a whole note and shit.
Kmart
and
Walmart
were
like, no.
Yeah. Where's Kmart now? If they just combined forces, they could be Walkmart. Oh, no. They could have saved so many stores.
I love it. I only have two more facts for my rando facts. That Maynard, he was a set designer that worked on films.
Yes, I saw that. Yeah,
interesting.
That's why he's so.
I was wondering why his
the
whole Hollywood thing was coming from in movies. I didn't continue reading.
And for those who have done their homework, Adam Jones was like a fucking, I forget what you want to call it, like a costume designer or something.
Oh shit!
That might not be the exact title, but he was working in Hollywood too. When he got called to be like they were going to sign this record deal, he was working on Jurassic Park.
Really?
Making like the dinosaurs and shit.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
Wow.
How fucking crazy.
They met on set. Like, and then, you play?
I see. Because I want to say it was on Jericho's podcast. He actually got to talk to Adam Jones, and that's the only like podcast he's ever done. And he was talking about this moment, and like he was saying, you know, like the guys that were working on Jurassic Park with him was like, okay, go ahead. Good luck with that rock star thing. Like, they didn't take it seriously, you know?
Yeah.
So,
wow.
It's kind of funny.
Who's laughing now?
Yeah, exactly. Who's laughing in Fibonacci sequence now?
3 million albums later at that time.
Exactly. My last fact, and it's actually a rumor, I would like to cite that these facts that I got were from a Rolling Stone article written on April 6, 2018.
That all of us got?
Yep. That Henry Rollins' appearance on Bottom is rumored to be because he was severely in poker debt.
Yeah, nobody knows if Maynard's fucking with everybody or
exactly.
What. Yeah.
You can't take
but
that.
But that would be hilarious.
Yeah, that is funny.
Either way.
I need the money, man.
Right? Well, when he said severely in poker debt, there was a different article that I read that said it was only $3,000. So then that's totally Maynard going, oh, severely. $3,000, that's more than I have in my pocket. You know what I mean?
I can't picture them sitting around playing poker, though.
Exactly. Oh, I would not want it. No.
Interesting.
I would never want to discuss politics or money with Maynard or Rollins.
I don't know. Maynard seems pretty cool, dude.
He's cool, but I wouldn't be able to keep up. I think I'm just more intimidated by people like that.
I was intimidated too at first until you realize he's pretty cool and he's just fucking with people.
Yeah.
He just doesn't tell everybody what the joke is. Like right. You either pick up on it or you're fucking left behind.
That's just my personality.
Which kind of goes with that Andy Kaufman thing you're talking about.
Right. Hi, nice to meet you.
Hello. I listen to some things you say.
Right? Yeah. I'd be like, are you mad at me? That'd be terrible.
Dude, he's so... Oh, dude. Yeah, okay. Okay. Dude, I'm unclogging my toilet right now. I'm not serious. Jesus Christ.
No, Walter, it didn't look like he was about to crack. Yes, the unspoken message is, fuck you. Leave me the fuck alone. Huh? Yeah, I'll see you at practice. 100%.
Good.
So that's it. That's Undertow. In a nutshell.
Had to bring it in.
Yep.
Is there anything else for getting reference wise?
I don't think so.
I think we got them all, right?
I think we did. The usual, right?
It's covered.
The usual suspects. What are we doing? This out of 5 or 10?
I do it out of 10.
10?
So you tell me.
Okay. We'll do 10. Ivan.
I would give it a 6. But comparing Tool to Tool, I'd give it 7.5.
It's pretty solid. Myself, after strong consideration, my personal score is an 8.2, which is like a B+.
I'm sitting, it depends on how high, because it depends, because this jumped up on the list that I shared from you, you know.
Right.
I'm thinking it was sitting around 8.75, maybe a 9.
Okay.
Depending on how I feel.
Wow. what strikes
you? The energy just got to me again.
Yep. It's a high energy album, man.
I'm missing that energy, though.
Yeah.
It's with the results, man.
It's not energy in a sense. God, I don't even know what to compare it to. It's just, it's compared to what they're doing now, it's just like riffs and stuff.
Because, like, when I think of them recording this album, they're like.
Really?
Visual cues. Right,
yeah. And that's just like the thing. The guitar is just sitting there. Like, It's just, they're not like.
Yeah. See, now that's how I feel they are now. The laid back and really.
It's still laid back. In. That was my whole thing with Inoculum.
Yeah.
It's like, there's like a lot of fucking ambience or whatever you want to call it. It's like, there's a lot of like. I don't want to say dead air, but there's a lot of space.
Dead air.
There's a lot of space in there where it's right. Like, okay, this didn't have to be 2 minutes. Cut that fat.
Gotcha.
That's interesting to me because I felt like this is the one that had the least amount of
that.
That's
what I thought too.
But maybe it's, I don't know. I guess it depends on how much time you spend in it.
Beauty is the eye of the beholder. I've been sitting on this now for like a good 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So interesting. But like JD said, I'm interested as we
but
go
along. But it's
kind
of cool. We kind of need that.
Like, I don't dislike it, like I said.
Yeah.
It's got its place. It's just not back-to-back.
Gotcha.
Like, I could listen to, like, a Slipknot track on random, and then, like, this could pop up on it, and then Mudvayne, and then, you know, Killswitch. And then if it's just different music mixed in there, it's fine. I just can't do track by track by track by track.
Yeah, I hear what you mean, because... It's almost like I'm playing a Jedi mind trick on myself by shuffling it because I don't know what to expect. So there's always that little bit of extra excitement about it. Right. I can understand going back and listen to an album just straight through. Like, go back and even listen to some of your favorite ones. Mm-hmm. And just to go track by track by track, even if you completely enjoy it, it's not as exciting as, like, shit out of order.
Right.
Even if it's just that. Because I was listening to Whitechapel like that on shuffle. So it's like, oh, fuck. Here comes that song. Awesome. Here we go.
I like doing that with Trivium because then in waves kick in and I'm at work wrenching and I'm just stopped like, yeah!
Interesting.
That is interesting. Well, we definitely are across the board. You know? Something else. Something different. Maybe you are too. Just listen to what we got to say.
You know what it made me think about was the comment on YouTube about the Inoculum review, how it was saying guys that don't listen to Tool reviewing the album, no thanks, or something along those lines. But that got you guys interested in it, and you guys end up liking it. So don't judge a book by its cover.
It's true.
Touché.
Watch and see what we have to say before you say anything at all.
Ba-boom.
That's it? I don't think there's anything else you could say after that.
Like, subscribe, comment, down below.
Got it. We'll be back next week as, what are we going to do on this episode? That's right. We're going to eat a fucking bear.
What?
You got bear burgers?
Bear burgers.
Burgers?
It's like plain burgers?
Yeah.
That's all I got.
You like that episode of Bear's Burgers? Check it out. We'll be back next week.
Bear Grylls Burgers.